Fan.
Fans, this is the week 4 edition of Packer Preview on the Sports Leader and the home of the Vikings, the Fan Radio Network, iHeartRadio. Great to be with you on a Packer Sunday, 1 week removed from one of those games that we won't forget for a long time. What a classic finish for the Pack by the Bay as they escape the 49ers 30-28. We'll talk about that in a moment. On tap today, Packers at Lambeau Field against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the 1-2 Steelers facing the 2-1 Pack, 3:25 at Lambeau Field today. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo on the call. I'm Dave Senekin. Great to be with you, as always, on an early Sunday morning, whether you're listening live or you found us on the iHeartRadio app. Whenever you woke up, it's great to be with you as we get set for Packer football at Lambeau Field. Before we get into the big matchup against Pittsburgh today, let's go back to last Sunday night, shall we? If you were listening to me last week, you know I was rather pessimistic about the Pack's chances in week 3. Looking at the volume of work we had seen so far, I was not sure this team was ready for the intensity of a primetime road game against the 49ers. And man, was I happy to be proven wrong. What a sight for sore eyes that defense was right out of the gate, pitching a shutout in the first half, really. Yes, they got the late touchdown. We know the 17-0 lead. Got a little nervous there on the kickoff return where they allowed the Niners in the final minute to already get into a scoring range quickly. And then just the debacle of that series where they allowed the Niners to score despite some curious non-calls by the officials. It was 17-7. Niners get the ball to start the third quarter. They score. Now it's 17-14, and we have a ball game. But big picture, man, that defense just looked like an entirely different unit. Did it not? Devondre Campbell flying all over the field. Kenny Clark being disruptive as always. Eric Stokes, terrific job filling in, hopefully permanently, for Kevin King. And just exactly what you wanted to see. Can the Packers stack up on the road against another NFC heavyweight and show toughness and show intensity and show that they mean business? And they did. And then there's the final 37 seconds. Count me among those, though we've seen Rodgers do this time and time again. When the Niners finally took the lead, I 37 seconds, no timeouts. I love Rodgers, but this is a pretty good defense. You got an inexperienced offensive line, more on them in a second, and certainly didn't love the chances, but it's Rodgers, and he's a magician. And that first pass to Devontae Adams was just nothing short of spectacular. And Rodgers always says, in a two-minute drive, it's the first play that's key to everything, whether it's for 25 yards or 8 yards, something positive to get that momentum going. And that play, putting the Packers across midfield, allowing the quick spike, and then one more play. When you got a quarterback cool enough to know, you don't have to find the sidelines. I can work the time. I can get us there. Well, thank goodness the defense allowed Juszczyk to score on that play to allow the Packers to have 37 seconds. And then, let's not bury the lead here. Mason Crosby stepping out from 51 yards, drilling his 22nd consecutive field goal and giving the Pack the win. I don't know how much longer Crosby will play. This might be his last season. If the Packers do make this a last dance season and move on from a lot of veterans and highly paid veterans, this might be it for Crosby. And, certainly anybody listening that isn't a Packer fan, that's a Viking fan, they know the heartache of not having a reliable kicker. And when Green Bay got down on Crosby a number of years ago when he missed those four against the Lions. A lot of people were calling for his head. The Packers stuck with him, and so glad they did. All-time Packer great. His all-time record is 23 in a row back in 2010 and 11. He needs just one more to tie that. Just terrific, terrific under-pressure kick by Mason Crosby to deliver the win. And while we're talking kicking game, how about that punter? You know, quietly. Now, the Packers haven't punted a ton. But Corey Bajorquez, three punts Sunday night, 54.7 yards per punt, 47 net. He's fourth in the league right now at 43-4. Okay, it's not a big deal, right? But we know what, problems we have with J.K. Scott and just the inconsistency. And we'd hold our breath in big games when he'd get back there to punt. Looks like the Packers have found themselves a pretty nice punter. It's early, but the early returns are good. Let's talk about that offensive line, shall we? Because we talked about it last Sunday. We knew that Jenkins wasn't going to play, so the Packers' top two offensive linemen are missing against one of the best pass-rushing front sevens in football. And I thought they'd move Billy Turner to left tackle, where he played in the postseason, bring in Dennis Kelly, the veteran, to play right tackle, and let those three interior youngsters have some veterans next to them. But no. Andy Stenovich, offensive line coach, said, no, Josh Nyman's ready. Throw him out there at left tackle. He knows what he's doing. And first series, we're all saying, are you sure? Are you sure he knows what he's doing? Face mask call, holding, just looked overwhelmed. He's got Nick Bosa on the other side. Of course he's overwhelmed. He's a practice squad player that's been trying to make his mark in the league for a few years, undrafted. But man, did he get better as the game went along? And obviously the Packers protected him. Mercedes Lewis spent a lot of time to his left to help chip Bosa. But Nyman did not give up a sack. The Packers were terrific up front. And you go into San Francisco against Eric Armstead and Kinlaw and all those great defensive players, Dee Ford, with four offensive linemen who had never played a road game. You know, a couple of them had played in Jacksonville. That was a neutral site game with more Packer fans than Saint games. This was a hostile environment in prime time in a home opener. And those four guys, Nyman, John Runyon at left guard, who is now, I think, salted down that job in place of Lucas Patrick, and the rookies, Josh Myers and Royce Newman, man, you can't say enough about their performance. Yeah, still having a hard time run blocking a bit. Packers' run game has not quite got on track yet. It's going to be tricky again today against Pittsburgh. But, man, two giant thumbs up for that offensive line's performance in San Francisco. And that was really the main reason I was so concerned about the Pack's chances. I just thought they'd be overmatched. It was just not a good matchup for a young, untested offensive line. They passed the test big time. The last note I had on the game, I thought it was really cool to hear afterward. After that kickoff return that got the Niners back in the game, Alan Lazard went to the coaches and said, I want to play on that unit. Put me in there and let me help out, on kickoff returns. And they did. And reportedly, he was fantastic and made a huge difference. And that's just, the kind of guy Lazard is, the kind of teammate you want to have. He did have a big catch downfield Sunday night, but he's been doing more blocking than catching passes. He might be needed a bit more going forward. We'll talk about that. But just the fact that, he went mid-game and said, throw me on that unit, I can help. And he did. That's a big sign that you got guys that care and want to help. I thought that was pretty cool. We'll hear from Alan Lazard during this program. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur as well as we get set for Packers Steelers. I think you've all heard the really interesting stat around this game. Rodgers, Roethlisberger, the first time they will meet on a football field since Super Bowl 45. I hate to say it, that's nearly 11 years ago. That hurts. We know that's been a long time. But that is by far the longest separation that two Super Bowl quarterbacks that faced each other faced again. It's taken 11 years. The last two times these teams have played, 2013, 2017, were the collarbone seasons where Rodgers missed those two games. The only team he has not met at Lambeau Field in his career is the Pittsburgh Steelers. That will end today. As Rodgers, about a year and change younger than Roethlisberger, but worlds apart when it comes to where they sit right now, talent-wise. Roethlisberger, a shell of his former self, really struggling. They ran him back for one final season, hoping they could capture some magic. It's been a disaster. We will chronicle the issues the Steelers are having with their offense. But it's still the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're being kind of kicked to the curb this week. And the one thing Mike Tomlin can do when everyone's kicking his team to the curb is rally his troops. So we know We'll get the Steelers' best efforts for sure today. Six of the last seven meetings between these two teams have been decided by 7 points or less. Matt LaFleur 6-2 against AFC teams in his 2 years at the helm of the Green Bay Packers. But we heard some rather disturbing injury news on Friday. Very disturbing and disappointing that Za'Darius Smith underwent back surgery. We can wonder why now, why not earlier? You know, who knows? You try to give it a rest. You try to see if time's going to help. But that's a big-time concern. It definitely puts his season in doubt. I'd be surprised if he plays this season at this point. A back surgery at the end of September, we don't know the extent of what he had done. But out indefinitely, they're holding out hope, is the way I think they wrote it, holding out hope that they'll be able to get him on the football field. My hunch is that we have seen the last of Za'Darius Smith as a Green Bay Packer. I hate that. I loved the way he played, but he's in the last year of his deal. Next year, he would earn $27 million if he's on the Packers roster at the age of, I think, 30. And I just, you know, unless there's a huge reworking of his deal, I don't see him coming back. And we talked about it before the season started, right, when he was not named a Packer captain after being a captain last season, and he tweeted out kind of that emoji with a, you know, what's going on or or one of those deals. And you just wondered if there was more to what's going on in that locker room with Za'Darius Smith. There's a lot of defensive leaders there. You know, I think Jair and Kenny Clark got the nods on that side of the room, but just wondered if something was going on with Za'Darius. It definitely puts a hole into this defense, right? I mean, you got Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary, but you liked having that three-man rotation. Rashawn Gary has had a hard time staying healthy over 16, 17 games. You need him to now. We'll talk about some possible directions the Pack could go. I'd love to see them add somebody, maybe somebody who's actually played in the league before and not just picking up youngsters and hoping one of them can bust out. We'll talk about that. But a big loss for Green Bay, not having Za'Darius Smith now and perhaps for the rest of this season. Then we heard that Marquez Valdes-Scantling was placed on short-term IR with a hamstring that he tweaked toward the end of the game. That means he'll miss at least these next three games. That would be Steelers, Bengals, Bears, and maybe eligible to return for the Washington football team game in week 7. But no MVS today, no deep threat. How does that impact the Packers offense and what the Steelers can do defensively? We'll chat about that during this hour. Packers activated Equanimeous St. Brown, who was on the practice squad. He will be in uniform and available as he was Sunday night as well. Other injuries for the Pack today. We will not see Elgton Jenkins for another week. We will not see Kevin King for another week. Both listed as doubtful. Both will not play today. Packers will, I'm sure, run out the same offensive line they did Sunday night. And Eric Stokes gets the start for Kevin King. Questionable. Chris Barnes, concussion. Love to have him in this game for the way the Steelers try to move the ball offensively. They dink and dunk and don't go downfield, and you want your active linebackers healthy. I'm not sure Barnes will be cleared or not, but that's something to watch. Vernon Scott, the safety, has yet to take the field this year, still questionable with a hamstring. And rookie defensive lineman Jack Heflin from Iowa, questionable with an ankle injury for the Pack as well. Pittsburgh, not quite as banged up, but they do lose their best wide receiver in this game. Chase Claypool will miss this game. They still have a couple of nice receivers as Deontay Johnson is back. He might be their best receiver. I think Claypool is their most reliable. You know, red zone, third down guy. When you need a play, Claypool can get up and win those 50-50 balls. He's out. But Deontay Johnson is back after missing last week. And their right tackle, Okorofor, is out as well. Pittsburgh does get back. The one that got away, T.J. Watt, who missed last week with a groin injury, he's back in his home state looking to make some memories for that Pittsburgh defense. He will return, as will Alex Highsmith, another pass rusher who missed last week. And as I said, Deontay Johnson out last week against Cincinnati. He is back for Pittsburgh today. So they're a healthier team, I would say, than the Pack right now. But Pittsburgh has a lot of issues. It's interesting because these teams both had really weird week ones, you know, or at least involved in games that were weird, right? The 38-3 game against New Orleans, what do you do with that? It put us in such a sour mood, like what's going on with this team? Pittsburgh goes into Buffalo week one and takes down the Bills. And you're thinking, man, the Bills aren't there. Pittsburgh is back. And then Pittsburgh goes on and looks really bad the next 2 weeks, and Green Bay looks, you know, much better the next 2 weeks. I think it's just one of those things you got to remember that week one, you just never know what you're getting. And we didn't know what the the Packers season was going to be, but it certainly looks like it's trending in the right direction. Didn't know what the Steelers would be in a tough division where the Browns and Ravens were favored, and they go into Buffalo and think, yeah, they're not done yet. Well, now the last 2 weeks, I mean, you lose by 2 touchdowns at home to Cincinnati. Granted, no T.J. Watt, but still, Pittsburgh is being looked at a whole lot differently for a lot of reasons. And we'll go through those reasons on both sides of the ball and what the Steelers look like this year and what this matchup looks like at 3:25 as the Pack looks to close out quarter number one of this season at 3-1. We're just getting going. Glad to have you with us. It's Packer Preview. I'm a fan.
There's a crazy bunch of guys from Titletown, USA.
A bunch of guys, crazy guys. Better
download it now.
Packer Preview is brought to you by JTR Roofing and Hudson Ford.
Well, there's a town in Wisconsin. It's not quite as big as L.A. We got something they don't have, and we're gonna see them today.
Go, you Packers, go, go. Go, you Packers, go, go. This year, yeah, there's a lot of road. Go, you Packers, go, go. When the pack is rocking, we'll be rolling. Go, you Packers, go, go.
All right, back with you, 7:21 on a Sunday morning. You're listening to Packer Preview. I'm a fan as we get you set for Packers-Steelers 3:25 kickoff. I think finally next week we get our first noon kickoff of the season, and I believe like 3 of the next 4 weeks will be noon kickoffs. If you've listened to me for a while, you know I love noon games for the Pack. Yeah, I love the prime time. It's fun, but 12 o'clock I'm ready for Packer football. We'll get it next week and a few times coming up. But 3:25 today, let's look at the Steelers offense against the Packers D, and we'll get to your phone calls in just a minute, because the big story is Big Ben, who looked washed up last year but got hurt. They ran him back. He lost weight. Let's see what he's got left. He's got all kinds of weapons around him. We talked about Deontay Johnson back from injury. They'll lose Chase Claypool, but Juju Smith-Schuster. They have Eric Ebron and a rookie tight end named Pat Freiermuth. And, of course, they drafted the Alabama running back Najee Harris to be the new bell cow back in Pittsburgh. But things have not gone according to plan. This Pittsburgh offense ranks last in the NFL in rushing yards. They're 13th in passing yards, 26th in overall yards, and 28th in points scored. And Big Ben just is not getting the ball downfield. Part of it is they have an absolutely offensive line that starts two rookies, as well as a rookie fourth-round pick from a year ago. And they just cannot run block. They cannot run the football. And so when you can't run the football, there's no play action to make things difficult for the defense. No one's going to buy it. They basically this year have dumped the ball off to Najee Harris in the passing game and let him do his thing. He's averaging 3 yards a carry running the football. As I said, they just cannot run the football. But last week, he was targeted 19 times, Najee Harris, the running back, and caught 12 passes. For over 100 yards. So this will be a big day for Devondre Campbell, who, as I said earlier, has looked really good in space with some speed, sideline to sideline, at least a step up from what Green Bay has had. Chris Barnes hopefully will be back to help out as well. Packers defense has been very good in tackling this year, among the league leaders in getting the guys on the ground, which is a nice change from years past. They're going to need that today because Najee Harris is going to get the ball in open space. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to get the ball in open space, and they've got to bring those guys to the ground. The one real problem with this Packer defense so far has been they've been just toothless once teams get into the red zone. 10 times teams have gotten into the red zone against Green Bay so far, and all 10 times they have scored touchdowns. They haven't just scored points. They hit the end zone all 10 times they've hit the red zone. So that's something that this defense still needs to figure out, because that's one bright star, I guess you could give Mike Pettine's defense, is that bend but not break. They would let you go from 20 to 20 with little resistance, but then they really toughened up in the red zone. That's not been the case so far, and something that does need to change, obviously, as the season goes on. And one thing that will change, of course, is Eric Stokes, who looked really good, although he got a couple pass interference calls. One for sure was very ticky-tack. There were some questionable calls on both sides of the ball last Sunday, no question. But Stokes certainly looks the part and certainly looks like a big leap forward from Kevin King, who will not play today. And Matt LaFleur talked about the rookie's performance following Sunday night's game.
Yeah, I think Stokes has done a great job. I think he has such a great attitude and great mentality. I think that's a big reason why you see guys that have that mentality and go about their business in that way. They tend to progress quickly. I know it's going to be a great challenge for not only him, but our entire defense. When you look at the receiving core of the Steelers and the weapons they have, and then you got Big Ben, and you know we're going to need to play our best in order to come out on top.
Yep, and it's great to see him out there. And you just want him to stay healthy. There's very little depth at corner, despite all the draft picks and stuff Green Bay's done to try to load up that room. It's hard to find a number of good corners. Stokes looks the part so far. And, again, I would guess you'll see Jaire Alexander on Deontay Johnson, the number one receiver today. Let Stokes take on most likely James Washington on the outside, replacing Chase Claypool. I would guess Washington gets the call there. And then inside, it's Juju Smith-Schuster in the slot. That's Chandon Sullivan. That's Darnell Savage. You got to watch that cat in the middle because he's very good with the ball in his hands, but he's not 100% either, dealing with some ribs. But obviously a big test for the defense whenever they take the field because they just haven't been great, but I thought they took a big step forward last week, and you get a Pittsburgh team that offensively has really struggled. This should be a good day for the Packers defense. You don't have to worry about the big plays anymore against this team. Offensive line is just so weak. You get some pressure on Ben, he's going to get rid of that ball quickly. There are going to be opportunities for turnovers. It's all about Najee Harris in the passing game, getting him on the ground and not missing tackles. If you do that, Green Bay should take care of business on that side of the ball. All right, to the phone lines we go. Let's say hello to some of you guys that have been holding since we started. Let's begin with our friend Dave checking in from Shakopee. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, you know, at the end of the game last week, I was a little surprised that the 49ers, at least on that last drive, you know, didn't rush more instead of drop five guys. So I was a little surprised at that. I thought they would rush because of our offensive line. And then my other comment, you know, we've heard, you know, Rodgers during the season, you know, during the offseason, didn't have his heart with the team anymore. But that last drive really showed that, you know, that Rodgers is all in with this team, and to see the excitement and jumping with the coaches and stuff, I think, in my opinion, he's all in, and the naysayers can just put that to bed.
I agree. Thanks for the call, Dave, for sure. That's just one of those easy narratives that sort of takes hold when somebody throws it out there early and it sort of caught fire. Is Rodgers all in? We know they didn't want to come back. You know, look no further than the video the NFL put out following the game that was ISO'd on Rodgers as Crosby was kicking. Dave just referenced it. It's really cool just to watch Rodgers' reaction. Looking, you know, I think Joe Barry was the first coach that he saw. Big hug to him. Matt LaFleur. There's no question. And Rodgers, you know, again, said it this week, how much he loves his teammates and this group. And so, no, that narrative can go away at this point. I think we saw Rodgers do his thing. You know, as for blitzing or putting pressure on the final 30, 40 seconds, you know, that's just an age-old, you know, decision, right? Because if you do blitz and you got a guy like Rodgers who's so smart with the ball, if he finds an open guy and there's not enough guys back there to tackle, you give up a touchdown just like that because you had everybody blitzing or rushing, defensive coordinators are just too cautious. They don't want to get burned. And so you know, you can certainly argue with, you know, how they defended that first play. And Rodgers got that ball just outside the arms of linebacker Fred Warner, about as talented and quick an inside linebacker as there is. But he wasn't quite deep enough to prevent the hookup with Davante Adams. And I didn't even really mention Adams when I talked about the game Sunday night, because you start to take Adams for granted, although when we saw him on the ground after that vicious hit by the safety, it was time to not take him for granted because you thought, here we go again, you know, with Devontae getting laid out and maybe he's done for a while and, you know, comes back, what, one play later after visiting the tent, which raised a lot of questions like, hey, nice concussion test. You know, what is it, 30 seconds and you know he's okay? But he maintained that it was the chest that he got hit and that he had lost his breath, wind knocked out of him, couldn't breathe for a second. But once that cleared, he was good to go. And obviously he comes back in for the overtime and makes those two gigantic catches. Just another 12-catch game for Davante Adams doing his thing, the best in the game. And the Rodgers to Adams combination. You know, it might be the last season together, but we're going to enjoy it week in, week out. And what we saw Sunday night is one of those games that will stay with us for a long, long time. To Titletown we go. We welcome our buddy 1265 Lombardi Guy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Here we go. We start two consecutive weeks with the uncommon opponent from the AFC. Should be some interesting football.
Yeah, for sure. And we talk about the Steelers and Pack. We haven't seen these two quarterbacks meet up since Super Bowl 45. And, you know, my only concern today is just Mike Tomlin just knows how to rally his guys when everyone's doubting them. You know, and this situation just looks like a no-win situation after how flat they looked at home against Cincinnati. But I don't discount what Tomlin can do to raise those guys up. And you get T.J. Watt back on the field playing in his home state. They normally would play, we'll talk about this next segment, but they normally would play him on his left against Billy Turner. But I wouldn't be shocked if they moved him over to see if Josh Nyman could have success with T.J. Watt. So I just, you know, I think we're going to get Pittsburgh's best effort today. I don't think it's going to be a laugher.
I don't disagree. As you said, Tomlin has a tendency to get his team up, and he knows he has to rally the troops against a guy like Aaron Rodgers. And I was a bit surprised how the 49ers played Aaron Rodgers last week when they at multiple times challenged the passing game with man coverage, and we saw him take advantage of it with Lazard and MBS. And that offense is going to hurt a little bit with MBS out. He gets such big plays in the passing game for him. And then next week down to Cincinnati, where, you know, they've rallied. They're 3-0 now, and they're starting to look like they're a pretty good football team. So it'll be an interesting next 2 weeks, and looking forward to seeing what they have to give today against the Steelers and next week on to Cincinnati.
Indeed. Thanks, 1265. Always good to chat with you. Nice points brought up. And on that Cincinnati team, you know, they played Thursday night, so they get kind of a mini bye week. They have 10 days to get ready for the Pack, and that's always a little advantage. They needed every second to get past Jacksonville, but they have won, I think, their last three. They're 3-1 in a really good division that we're playing all four of those teams. Obviously, Cleveland's up here playing the Vikes today. We'll get them on Christmas Day. But, man, every team in that division right now has something to offer, right? I mean, Cleveland and Baltimore, probably the top two, but Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, they'll compete with you. And so it's a tough division along with the NFC West. That's why we talked about how difficult the schedule is with the divisions that the NFC North has to play this season. Let's grab one more this segment as we welcome our buddy, old Southside guy, to the program. Good morning, sir.
Davey, good morning. Davey, do you realize that if the Packers win today, we're going to be 3-1, and that's going to be the same record as your son's Minnetonka Skippers, who had a nice victory on Friday against St. Michael Elberfeld. So good luck to them.
Well, actually, they're 4-1. So let's just let's get past the Steelers now, and they'll have the same record as the Skippers. I love that.
Okay, we'll take that. Davey, one interesting stat I saw on Ben Roethlisberger. In the first games this year, he has attempted 130 passes, and only 13 of those 130, or 10%, he has attempted to throw 20 yards or more. So that's telling me that Big Ben's slowing down, and that also that offensive line can't protect him to throw the long ball. So we have to have active linebackers today to watch that short pass to Harris and Juju Smith in the slot. So that's one thing I'm going to be watching today, because Ben's not going to beat us deep.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same as we thought with San Francisco. They're not a team that tries to beat you deep either. Not that Garoppolo can't throw it downfield, but it's not his strength. They don't have burners that can beat you deep, and the Steelers don't either. You're right. Big Ben is averaging, I think, 6.2 yards per pass attempt, which is like eighth from the bottom in the NFL, and it is because of that offensive line. I mean, they've really struggled up front this season, and you see it from all teams that struggle up front. You can have all the great fantasy football names on your offense, but, man, if those guys aren't blocking up front, good luck. And Pittsburgh is just found no ability to run the football. That line is not run blocking at all. So defenses can't take them too seriously. When they try to run the ball, they know they're going to pass, and they're just, you know, pinning their ears back because Ben can't move, and he's going to get rid of that ball quickly. He's got, you know, he's had a lot of injuries. That body is battered. As big as he is, he can't just, you know how Ben was kind of known for that, just sort of flick his body one side to shake. He's so big, he could shake guys off of him. He can't do that anymore, and he knows it. And he's dumping that ball off, and we saw just a horrible interception he threw to Cincinnati last week in the red zone, just something you don't see Ben Roethlisberger do. And it's just, you know, you hate to see great Hall of Fame quarterbacks that maybe stick around a year too long, right? We're seeing that with Big Ben. I think we saw it with Drew Brees a year ago. It's tough to know when. And, you know, if I have a Hall of Fame quarterback, I'm of the opinion you just play him till he can't play, and then you deal with the issue. Because you never know when it's going to happen. You know, maybe it happens next year with Rodgers. Maybe it happens in 5 years. I would just ride with him and just deal with it because you see the excellence that he's still playing with. But Big Ben, his time has passed, and he's going to be in some for some rough footing, I think, at Lambeau, a raucous Lambeau Field this afternoon. We'll pause one more time, one more segment. We'll look at the Packers' offense against the Steelers' defense. Take more calls. We'll hear from Alan Lazard, and we'll give our predictions for Packers-Steelers. We're back with more Packer Preview right after these.
They do the Lambeau leap, ending up in a heap. Crushed by the weight, but the feeling...
Yeah. Packer Preview is brought to you by Hudson Ford.
Great to be back at Lambeau Field today, the first Sunday home game of the season, as Aaron Rodgers and the Pack take on Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. 3:25 kickoff at Lambeau today. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, the top CBS team in town for the 3:25 kickoff. We talked about the Steelers' offense against the Packers' D. Let's switch it and look about the Packers' offense and how they match up with the Steelers' defense. That's still a Pittsburgh Steelers' defense. They're 13th or 14th in the league right now, but have played half the season so far without T.J. Watt, who went down in week two against the Raiders with a groin injury and missed last week. He'll be back today, and he's got a talented group around him. Cam Hayward, Chris Wormley up front. Those linebackers, Devin Bush, former Badger Joe Schobert, Alex Highsmith, those guys are talented. It's a very talented front seven and a terrific pair of safeties in Minkah Fitzpatrick and Terrell Edmonds. There is talent all over that side of the ball. Unfortunately for them, none of them really reside at the cornerback position. Yes, they still have Joe Hayden, and he's still a decent cornerback, but he's not the Joe Hayden of 5-6 years ago. They are very thin at corner. They have given up big plays throughout the season to Derek Carr and Joe Burrow, and even Josh Allen in a victory in week one. The defense has been susceptible to big plays. The question is, can the Packers run the offense the way they want to without MVS going deep? He is the only real deep threat on the roster. They don't have another guy that can replicate his speed and force that kind of attention on the back end to open things up maybe in the middle of the field. So we'll see how Green Bay's offense responds without MVS on the field. Certainly there's a lot of talent in that room. We mentioned Equanimeous St. Brown being activated along with Malik Taylor. You got a couple young guys that, you know, might get a chance now that MVS is down for a few weeks. Here's Alan Lazard.
Our whole room's ready. I mean, we've been practicing. We've been at it since April. So it's how we prepare in the room. You know, that goes back to Devontae, Coach Vrabes too, just on how we prepare, what our standard is in our room. It's for anyone, everyone to go out there and be able to play any position at any given time, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the score is. At the end of the day, you know, if you're putting out there on the field, you're trusted and you're held to a standard of being able to go out there and to do your job. So those two guys are more than willing and ready to go.
And we'll see if they get their opportunity today. Lazard will still be counted on to help out, I would think, blocking. He's a terrific blocker, wide receiver, big body guy that likes to do the dirty stuff. And they're going to need that against that defense. You know, the Packers still have a very untested, unproven offensive line that has yet to really open up a lot of holes in the running game. And Green Bay has to run the football against Pittsburgh and do better than 3 yards a carry. Aaron Jones has been terrific. Haven't seen as much of A.J. Dillon yet as we would expect. Now, Jones dealing with a bit of a tweak of his ankle. We'll see if that is something we notice today. But the Packers have to run the football against Pittsburgh. Again, just like we said against San Francisco. Terrific front seven that can get after you. And Watt's back, and they're going to move him around and find matchups they like. No doubt Rodgers will get rid of the ball quickly, as he did Sunday night. Very, very short drops and quick releases against a ferocious pass rush. It's a proud Pittsburgh team, and while the offense is struggling, the defense is still pretty darn good, and it's going to be a handful for that Packers offensive line. And I expect I'd like to see Robert Tonyan more involved with MVS out, hitting that middle of the field, and let's get Randall Cobb more involved, right? I mean, so excited when they made the deal and made Aaron happy, but he's not out there, I don't think, more than 30-40% of the snaps right now. He and Amari Rodgers can give this offense a nice kick in the middle of the field, and this is the kind of game without MVS where you got to do things a little bit differently. We'll see what the Packers have up their sleeves, but I expect this offense to have some troubles today against this Pittsburgh defense. Again, talk about this all the time. A lot of times when it comes to matchups in the NFL, it's not who you're playing, it's when you are playing them, right? And this is a Pittsburgh team that's just dropped two straight home games. They're hearing a lot of murmuring about the end is near. And that's the kind of time when a team like that with a proud history and a coach that knows how to motivate can rise up and get the best out of his team. And I do think we're going to get a good punch thrown at us by Pittsburgh today. I think Green Bay's got enough to get past them. But this does not feel like a 31-10 kind of Packer victory for me today. Just because of the timing. Two straight home losses, you get your leader back in Watt, and that defense is going to come and you know do their thing and try to slow down number 12 in that offense. Let's grab one more call. Our buddy Dave from Maple Grove has been holding. Dave, appreciate you holding. Good morning. What's on your mind today, buddy?
Oh, a couple quick things, Dave. Thanks for taking the call, as always.
Of course.
First, got to do a quick shout-out to Tony. Tony from New Hope Lifetime Fitness, good morning. Tony's a long, long, long-time listener.
All right. Morning, Tony.
Okay. You just alluded to this, but this is a game that looks to me like we should get the tight ends more involved. But we haven't done a whole lot of throwing to the tight ends yet this season. I don't think Mercedes-Lewis has but maybe one target all year. Tanya's got a few, but nothing like you would expect at this point in time. But I'd love to see the tight ends more involved. Let's go ahead and win this thing 31-17.
Sounds good. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, I'd love to see Tanya get more involved. Jaguara maybe finding his footing as he's able to stay on the field now for a couple games in a row. Dominique Daphne on IR now. So that tight end room is getting a little smaller. They did add a guy off a practice squad this week to fill out the room. But, yeah, I think Tonyan's going to get more involved this week. I really do believe that. And I'd like to see, as I said, I'd like to see Cobb get some more action, get more snaps. And he's still the weapon he can be. I just think the offense is going to evolve as the season goes on, and I think there are plenty of plays in there for Cobb as we go. Whether that starts today remains to be seen. I want to talk again about losing Za'Darius Smith and what that means for the pass rushing situation with just Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith really as your proven guys that you can count on. They do have Jonathan Garvin. He got a lot of snaps on Sunday night. Chauncey Rivers, the kid they picked up for the season. But they have no other real proven veteran depth. You go out and look for a veteran pass rusher, maybe via trade before the trade deadline. I'd like to see them do that. Again, it's not something Green Bay does, right? Pick up a veteran who might be 30, 31 in his last year or two, maybe making more money than he should. But if you're a Super Bowl contender, and if this, you know, they're not calling it a last dance season, but I think we all know this could be kind of the last season for this Packer team as it's constituted. There could be a whole lot of new faces next season, starting at the quarterback position, and it might be kind of a reboot with plenty of talent, obviously, coming back, but with a lot of key names and key faces gone. So you're taking your shot this year, and if you can deal for an outside linebacker and maybe sacrifice a fifth or sixth round pick, I certainly would like to see them do it. Pete Doherty at Journal Sentinel Online wrote a story this week looking at who might be out there, and the name that he threw out was Dante Fowler, the former top five pick of the Jaguars, who did play with Joe Barry and the Rams in 2019. He's with the Falcons right now. That's a floundering team going nowhere. They have no need for Dante Fowler. That's the kind of guy I'd like to see Green Bay add. I don't believe that Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith can stay healthy for 17 games if they are relied on to be out there 70-80% of the time. You need another guy. And yeah, you got some youngsters, and maybe they're fine, but I wouldn't mind giving a guy like Fowler a shot. Another guy to look at, Whitney Mercilus, former Illini, he's played with the Texans. He'd be, as far as a productive player, still at 31, I would take him at the top of my list. Again, a Houston team that would love draft picks wherever you're going to give him one. That's a guy I would look at as well. There are some fairly big names out there playing on losing teams that maybe could inject some life into the end of their career by playing for a contender. I just want to see Green Bay step out of the box and not just rely on youth. You know, it's always, look at this guy we found who's suddenly a player. And they've done a great job of that. But occasionally when an injury strikes and it's a key player, you can't necessarily rely on Chauncey Rivers, you know, to come in and give you snaps and give you the kind of production that you'd hope to get as a pass rusher. So something to watch. We're still a couple weeks away from the trade deadline. I would love to see Green Bay make a move for a pass rusher today. Let's bring in Brett Blakemore for a sec, our producer, and wearing his Packer colors, as always.
Much to Dan's chagrin later today.
Yeah, it's something he has to deal with. Yeah. You know, you're here working hard. You can deal with how you're dressed. How are you feeling about our squad today?
I feel pretty good. Mikey's, you know, it's Eric Stokes' time to shine here. We've been talking, and a lot of Packers media have been talking about, you know, how much Kevin King is disappointed, and I think today would be the day to show that he's a guy that can step up and be in that rotation, especially with Claypool and Deontay Johnson. These are good quality wide receivers. I think it's a good chance to show, you know, exactly what he's made of if he wants to be in that starting position. But also, Aaron Jones, I know he says his ankle's good. I want to see it. And he just adds so much, you know, he makes offense so much more dynamic. And we saw in Jacksonville what happens when we abandon the run and when we're not dynamic. It does not go well. I like the pack 31-21. Like I said, I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I don't think it'll be a snoozer either.
All right, sounds good. I'm with you on Aaron Jones for sure. He didn't look quite right. And he is the, I mean, Rodgers, let's not break news here. Rodgers is the MVP, but this offense goes as Aaron Jones goes. And I'm hoping we see the 33 that we expect to see, that he is 100%. As far as Stokes goes, yeah, he'll be tested today, obviously, against Pittsburgh, but they're not going to throw downfield. He's going to be tested next week against the Bengals and those three receivers. And with Tyler Boyd in the slot, he'll probably have to deal either with, you know, T. Higgins, you know, on one side, or the rookie Jamar Chase on the other, a guy he's familiar with from LSU, two SEC guys who've played against each other. My guess is, you know, he'll probably get Higgins because they'll put Chase, they'll put Jair on Chase. But I think we'll really learn about Stokes next week against Cincinnati. But he gets another chance for some confidence against a Pittsburgh team today that should struggle to move the ball down the field against the pack. I expect a couple turnovers. I expect a battle. I don't think it's going to be easy. I've got it packed 27. Steelers 21. Green Bay survives and does what they need to do, but Pittsburgh's proud, and they're going to give us their best shot. Let's move on to 3-1, and we're on to Cincinnati. Enjoy the game, Packer fans. 3:25 kickoff at Lambeau. Enjoy your Sunday, and as always,